Hi, this is Smriti Kirvanandan, your host for Health Forward Podcast. One of the most important things you can do for yourself is to take care of your health. Your road to discovering an all-inclusive, empathetic, and innovative healthcare ecosystem starts right now. You are listening to Health Forward Podcast, and this is your host, Smriti Kirvanandan. Our guest for today is Laurie McGraw, former Senior Vice President at American Medical Association. For over 30 years, she has led high-growth health information companies, bringing innovative technology to healthcare. She was named one of Crain's notable women executives for 2020 and to the Forbes Technology Council in 2021. Laurie, welcome to Health Forward. An impressive background and incredible work you have done. As I see, you've served on the healthcare leadership team and now inspiring women in their career paths.
Smriti, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here and talk to you today.
Thank you, Laurie. Today's conversation is focused on future women in medicine. So Laurie, tell us a little bit more about what has inspired you to be in the field of medicine.
Well, you know, I really wasn't inspired to be in the field of medicine. I was inspired to be in the field of technology, and the intersection of technology and medicine is incredible. So just to give you a little bit of the, you know, the highlight reel, you know, way back when, you know, many years ago when I was in college, I remember just, you know, my degree was in cognitive science. I was one of those college students that took advantage of the Apple program, $1,000 for your Macintosh and a printer. And it was just, you know, that was a time when we didn't have, you know, home computers everywhere. We didn't have technology and medicine. So, you know, long story short, I got into my first, I would say, career job in technology. It was a health IT company. I started in revenue cycle, but I quickly moved on to the clinical side of things. So electronic health records. And then over years, after a, you know, long run at a high growth, one of the larger electronic health record companies, I joined the American Medical Association. And I just completed 6 years at that association. Incredible time there where I learned so much about policy and the larger macro issues in healthcare. So it's been fascinating. I mean, you know, as you well know, healthcare is a very large space and there's so much opportunity to do more, do better. And I've been enjoying it for all 30 years that I've been working in it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Just an incredible background you have. And so with the American Medical Association, you know, that's one of the nation's largest organizations. What are some breakthroughs you have witnessed in the field of medicine?
Well, some of the breakthroughs most certainly are in the field of technology. So, you know, again, when I started out working on electronic health records, and this is, you know, near 30 years ago, at that point in time, there were less than 5% of physicians who were using technology to automate the documentation and clinical care delivery process. And now that has completely changed, 95%. But we've also seen tremendous adverse effects. So enormous burden, physician burnout, you know, largely due to things like technology and electronic health records, which, you know, I'm very proud of the work that I've done, but it hasn't turned out. So we need to pay a lot of attention to that. During the time that I was at the American Medical Association, certainly the past several years, we've been in the COVID-19 pandemic, and we're still not through it yet. I think we all know that. But I will say some of the work that happened at the AMA during the time is really just being the voice of science, the voice of trust in terms of what was a lot of both misinformation as well as not well understood information about this disease and the pandemic. And so being associated with that and really supporting what were some of the amazing voices out there was something I am very proud to be associated with. It was a very confusing time, still is for many, but I think that I was, you know, happy to be at the AMA during that time.
Just amazing to hear your stories and recognition of how far we've come in this journey. So what are your thoughts about the current state of women in medicine?
Well, I think, so I'm very passionate about this, as you know, and I think, you know, we can look at many things to say, without question, women have, you know, across the field of, you know, the broad field of medicine have made tremendous amounts of progress. We're seeing over 50% of medical school, the attendants, the students are women. Over 50% of the matriculating physicians are women. And so there's many more female entrepreneurs in the field of healthcare tech. At the same time, we're also seeing things that don't match up. So those fantastic statistics do not correspond with the levels of women in leadership. So if you look at academic medicine, you'll see 12% of deans of schools being women. You'll see, less than 20% who are department chairs in academic medicine. You still see enormous pay gaps for similar positions. So the gender gap it continues in the field of medicine, both on the technology company side as well as in the healthcare delivery side. So there's tremendous amount of work still that needs to be done. And so we need to continue to work at it.
There's so many gaps that you just mentioned. That brings me to our next question. Stats show that 56% of women are burnt out compared to 41% of men.
That is not a surprise. Okay, so I think that we can both imagine, and we know because it's well documented, that in terms of the pandemic, we were all in a state of enormous change. It doesn't matter what you were doing, who you were, something in your life changed pretty dramatically. And for women, they're also just meant, for parents, the need to care for children, maybe school-age children, a lot of that extra work, extra burden fell upon women. There was a disproportionate amount of family care that fell to women when that care came to the home, and differently than it was in the pandemic. And so women have shouldered that burden largely, and they're feeling it. They are absolutely feeling it. While at the same time, we saw during the course of the pandemic, we saw women leaving the workforce at alarming rates. Women received fewer promotions than normal. So we lost ground during the course of the pandemic. And so those things coupled with the extra burdens, to me, it's just natural that that would result in significantly higher degrees of stress and burnout.
Absolutely. Those are all such significant issues being a woman. What is your guidance to women who are in this field, struggling to manage family and career? What are some guidance or advice you would like to give them?
Struggle is such an interesting word because it's like, is it really a struggle when you're carrying more load and doing more work? Or is it that you're just, managing at a different level? So, to me, I don't like to talk about it as if it's a deficit. For women, I want to acknowledge that there is a higher degree of invisible work. There's a higher degree of responsibility that's falling to women. And so the advice is to speak up about these things very actively. It is not, no one should apologize for taking on the extra workload and feel that they are somehow less than someone else who is doing a comparable job without that extra workload. And just another example, to bring it, outside of the family care type of issue, we've seen during the course of this pandemic, so much emphasis and newfound awareness about health equity and the disproportionate impact to communities of color and what has been always there, but it's been brought to a broader national awareness of the systemic racism and things of that nature in healthcare. The work that's being done in those areas, which is needed, which is vast, which is so much that needs to be done, much of it is falling to women to take on what are newfound responsibilities, whether they're DEI initiatives or things of that nature. So that's just a little bit of a soapbox, not necessarily solutions. I think the solutions really come for women to be very clear that these are things that they are working on. We certainly, in the area of burnout, we do a lot of talking these days about mental health. I think it's fantastic to talk out loud about mental health and how any individual might be experiencing, whether it's burnout, needing, whatever they might need. That open conversation, I think, is particularly helpful. And then, you know, the last thing is just to not take it all on, you know, without appropriate, whether it's compensation or more time in the schedule or other things that seem responsible, that to support the needs of women in their various professions.
I love that bold, proactive perspective. 800,000 physicians, 330 million Americans, 4 million nurses, 5,500 hospitals. How do you think the healthcare ecosystem is managing to give the best outcome for a nation?
Perfectly. There's absolutely no issues going on. Everything works seamlessly. It couldn't be better. Okay, that was a joke. So I mean, there's enormous challenge in the healthcare system. At the same time, I am an optimist. I mean, if we look at healthcare in aggregate, it's a $4 trillion spend. It is the fastest growing part of our economy. It doesn't seem to follow the normal economic cycles. It just continues to grow. And, you know, why is that? We're also seeing the changes, and we're moving from an acute care system to a chronic care system. And we're also seeing that while the healthcare delivery, where I might go see a physician or a nurse practitioner and the like, I can now do those things with technology through digital health tools or telemedicine. So I think we're in a time of enormous change. I am optimistic about the opportunity that comes with technology if implemented in the right way. You know, we need to learn the lessons, certainly from electronic health records. And then I also anticipate that the workforce of healthcare delivery, that's going to continue to evolve. I mean, before we started this podcast, we were talking about the role of food as an example in healthcare, and just other things. Social determinants of health is a big discussion in healthcare. I just think that, you know, we're in a time of great innovation. So while interoperability, we're not where we need to be, while data is vastly available, but is just voluminous, and we're not getting the insights yet that we might want to improve outcomes, I think those opportunities are upon us, which is why I feel like healthcare and the intersection of healthcare and technology is such an interesting space to continue to be in.
It's perfect intersection and well said about where we are and where we need to go. In the future of medicine for women in the US, is that different than in other countries?
I think, I mean, certainly, yes, that it is different. How different? I think that certainly depends, you know, where you are, the geography, the government, you know, the policies that are there. At the same time, again, this is a little bit more of my optimistic view. I think we've also seen during the course of the pandemic, we've seen just the global communities coming together around things like vaccine creation, or, you know, figuring out this pandemic and what it actually means. So I do think while there are differences, we see opportunities to reduce those differences, learn from each other. I mean, certainly the United States healthcare, for all of its challenges, it continues to be, you know, a marvel in terms of the level of care that is available to us. And I don't, you know, for all the challenges, and we often talk about those, we need to recognize that you can get access to wonderful care here. Not all people. And so there's work that needs to be done, but still just remarkable breakthroughs of science happen here. So I'm not fully answering your question other than to say that, you know, while there are differences, the global community, we've certainly seen it come together during the course of the pandemic. And I hope that continues. I think that that will just continue to advance medicine in very positive ways.
I know you have your own podcast, Inspiring Women. Tell us a little bit more about what made you start that podcast and where are you now with it?
Yeah, so I, you know, as I'm 30 years in healthcare technology. I've been in leadership for many, many years. And I've always had a deep conviction that we need more women in leadership. And, you know, as someone who was one of few or oftentimes one of one around tables, things would evolve. But then during the course of the pandemic, after all, what I have seen so much progress for women and women involving in leadership, I mean, it hasn't been happening fast enough. But then during the course of the pandemic, we saw changes, and those changes were that women were leaving the workforce, women in leadership were 40% were considering dropping out of the workforce or downsizing their careers. And that was, quite frankly, that was alarming to me. It just, you know, for all the progress, and we have so much more to be had, we are losing ground. And that set off for me just a bit of a panic. So, you know, I felt a need to do something more than what I'd already been doing, which is being outspoken, mentoring other women, things of that nature. And so I just started this podcast. We all try different things. And this was just my opportunity to have conversations with women who are extremely accomplished, talk to them about how they made it, what were their aha moments, what do they advise to others, as well as to talk to earlier stage women. You know, what are they thinking about or concerned about? What questions do they have? And I've done, you know, about 80 of these, maybe 90 of these episodes now, and they're fascinating. I learned something from every single one of them, and I'm putting them out there, and just tremendous response, you know, people hearing other things, and not just women, by the way, you know, many men respond to this podcast in terms of what they're hearing and how they can think about, you know, being a better, whether it's a leader or just ally to their women peers or colleagues in the workplace. So the why is really just because we all need to do more.
I love it. I think it's such a great way of inspiring others and making impact in different formats. So if you had to share three takeaways for the future of medicine or health, what would that be?
Yeah, well, takeaways or opportunities. So, you know, what I see, I continue to believe that, you know, in the area of technology and innovation, that the best is yet to come. And we need to be so cognizant of the outcomes that can come with it. So, you know, the lessons learned are very available to us, whether it's the electronic health records or, you know, the potential not good outcomes that might come with AI. We need to be very mindful. That said, innovation, we are in a time of extreme innovation, and that is very exciting. If I think about health equity, In the past few years, the pandemic, the work at the American Medical Association, I will say I have done more work learning and really leaning into the work of health equity and the opportunities to do more, because so much more is needed, is available to us. And I just see a tremendous amount of effort going there, which I'm very excited about. And if that can make a difference, and so much is needed to help, whether it's vulnerable communities, communities of color, whether it's the systemic racism that is embedded within our healthcare systems, that is important. So I'm hopeful that that will continue with the same level of effort that's needed. And then I would just, you know, the last area is just women in leadership. We need more women in leadership. And I'm very, very just, this is important to me. Women are half the resources on this globe. Women are half of its potential. We have too few women in leadership. If we can unlock that potential, I just believe that the world will be a better place, and medicine being such an important part of all of our lives, that's important to unlock. So those are my three, Smriti. I'm just sticking with those.
Amazing. Thank you, Laurie, so much for joining me today at Health Forward. Such a genuine, empowering person you are. It's just such a pleasure to have you on board.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. This is Health Forward Podcast, and I'm your host, Smriti Kirbanandi.